So I'm going to be talking about some of the free cyclotols that are unloaded from a low raffinose, low stachyos, and low phytin soybean seeds. This was work that I did in Ralph Obendorf's lab using some seed lines from Steve Schnepley. So we have some of these undesirable compounds. Two of them are raffinose and stachyos. And these accumulate during desiccation tolerance and cold stress tolerance. And consumption leads to flatulence. Consumption leads to flatulence and indigestion in non-ruminants. And so reducing the RFO content in soybean seed reduces flatulence and increases the metabolizable energy. So the RFOs are synthesized by raffinosynthase and stachyosynthase. And mutation of the SDC1 gene reduces the raffinosynthase activity. Okay. And following up the last two talks, phytin, which is a major storage for phosphorus in the plants, is also indigestible. It chelates calcium and iron and reduces the ability to absorb these ions when you ingest it. And then it also releases phytate and manure from feeding chickens and pigs, which can have detrimental environmental effects. So we can reduce the phytin as well, and we were going along with the MIPS mutation. This improves calcium and iron absorption, and it also reduces the fecal and urinary total phosphorus and by 40% in low phytate barley. So the mutants that we were working with, again, are the SDC1 and the MIPS. So the SDC1, unfortunately, results in a normal field emergence and is imbibitional chilling tolerant. But the MIPS mutation, which has low phytin and the low raffinose and stachyos, results in reduced field emergence and is sensitive to imbibitional chilling. So just to go over the four lines that we were working with, we have an LRS line, which is low raffinose and low stachyos, and has a mutation in the SDC1 gene. So there's a reduction of the raffinosynthase activity. And then the LRSP1 and LRSP2 have low raffinose, low stachyos, and low phytin. And those are achieved by the mutation in MIPS. And again, these were advanced breeding lines from Pioneer Hybrid. And these are the plants growing in the greenhouse. So just to go over some of the pathways that are involved here, the lines with the reduction of the MIPS activity results in lower amounts of phytin, okay? And the lower raffinose synthase activity, we have reduced raffinose and stachyos. So because raffinose and stachyos are associated with desiccation and cold stress tolerance, reducing these compounds can result in some problems. So one of the thoughts is that increasing the galactosyl cyclotols can help alleviate these effects. So the precursors are these free cyclotols, myo-inositol, dichiro-inositol, and dipinositol. Okay. And myo-inositol is thought to be converted into dichiro-inositol, and it's converted into pinitol through a deinositol intermediate. So these are synthesized maternally and thus be unloaded to the seed through the seed coat. And then where they accumulate as their galactosyl cyclotols. So we took explants from these mutated lines, and we fed them solutions of myo-inositol, dichiro-inositol, and dipinositol, and we were comparing the maternal accumulation of the free cyclotols and the unloading of the free cyclotols in these mutant lines and comparing them to a control unmutated line. So we had analyzed leaf tissue, pod wall, seed coat, cotyledon axis, and seed coat cup exudate. That's the leaf punches. This is an image of the seed coat cup unloading. There's another one. So we are cutting out the top portion here, removing the seed And then the seed coat cup is rinsed out with water, and then it is filled with 200 microliters of water, which is changed every 30 minutes for 2 hours. And each of those volumes is collected for analysis. In addition to that, so every, for 0, 1, 2, 3, 4, and 5 days, this was done. In addition, the seed, or the leaf punches were taken, and the proximal seed was removed for analysis as well. That's for the seed parts. Okay. So all the plant tissues were frozen in liquid nitrogen, ground to powder, and the carbohydrate extraction was done with 50% ethanol. Then they were prepared for analysis by gas chromatography. So this is the in-plant, the endogenous levels of the cyclotols in leaf tissue. You can see that there's not really any difference between any of the lines. These are the endogenous unloading levels in planta, so these were not fed anything. And then you can see that there are some differences. So the LRSP2, LRS had increased sucrose, LRSP2 had increased dipinitol unloading, and the myonostal had increased, the LRS line had increased myonostal loading. What you can notice is that none of them had reduced levels below the check line, which is important. So feeding the X-plants, the free cyclotol solutions of dichloroinositol, and then measuring over 5 days the accumulation in the leaf tissue, you can see that there was a significant difference for all four of the lines for dichloroinositol feeding. For myonositol, we only got LRS and LRSP2, and the dipinitol only increased in the LRS. We were able to show an increase in the unloading of each of these. So when we fed them, when we fed each of these solutions, we got an increase in chironostol. Feeding myonostol, we got an increase in myonostol. Feeding dipinitol, we got an increase in pinitol. And then if we look at the unloading across the lines, again, the dichloroinositol was increased in unloading across all four lines, whereas the myonositol was increased in the LRSP1 and the check line, but not the LRSP2. And in none of the mutated lines, we had no increase in any of those lines for the dipinitol. So we also, as I mentioned before, we analyzed the proximal seed parts. So from the maternal tissue, we cut off a section of the pod wall and analyzed the seed coat from the proximal seed. And you can see in the pod wall, we had three lines for the dichloroinositol that increased. The LRS was the only one for the pod wall for myonositol, and again, the pinitol didn't really have much of an increase in either of these tissues. And for the seed coat, the only one that we actually detected an increase in was the check line. Okay. And then the embryo tissues, there was not really any significant uptake in those. These are not mature seeds, so later in development they begin to accumulate more. One of the other things that we were looking at was if we could feed myonositol and achieve an increase in dichloroinositol. And while we didn't really see much for unloading, we did see an increase in the leaf tissue, which means it may be increasing the synthesis in the leaf, but we don't really see much of a difference anywhere else. Right, so the thought is that if we were to increase the upregulation of the dichloroinositol synthesis, that would shift that away from the myo. So going over everything that we looked at here for dichloroinositol, we were able to increase the unloading across all four of the lines, more importantly, the mutated lines. And there was an increase in the leaf tissue indicating it's being taken up and accumulated. The myonositol, of the mutant lines, we only had the LRS and LRSP1, and there's less uptake in the other tissues that were analyzed. And the D-pinotol, again, was fairly low and only had two cases where we found an increase in response to feeding D-pinotol. So the idea is that we may be able to, if we were to increase the maternal supply of myo-inositol and D-carinositol in these mutant lines, it may provide a means of increasing the supply of these cyclotols to the developing embryo. And since the D-pinotol was, there was not much of an increase that we could see following feeding, which may be due to the high endogenous levels. So using a higher concentration may show a bigger effect there. And then in a separate experiment, feeding D-carinositol to the four lines resulted in an increase in phagopyrrolidone B1. So that was one of the important goals, showing that we can, if we supplied some sort of maternal increase in D-carinositol, that we would get an increase in the galactosyl cyclotols. And since we have fully functional galactanol synthase and stachyosynthase, those are available to increase. to increase the conversion of these other compounds that are more desirable than raffinose and stachyose. And ultimately, if we could increase the maternal conversion of myo-inositol to D-carinositol. So that we can increase the precursors to these and hopefully reduce the amount of myo-inositol available for conversion to phytin. Okay. So I'd just like to acknowledge everyone who helped in the lab and the societies for putting on the conference. And if there's any questions? She's behind the poster.
I have a question that is pretty broad. So, one of the negatives that I see with our system is this idea that desiccation tolerance requires these compounds in the seed, requires a presence to make sure the seed can develop normally. And then in your system with the MIPS mutant, you have seeds that some of them successfully develop such that they can at least germinate, and some of them don't. And so you have kind of a mixed bag. Do you have any plans to try to understand the difference between a correlative effect and a true cause and effect by trying to maybe fix the problem when you have a MIPS suppressed line? As I recall, there's a Chinese group that has suppressed the MIPS gene, and when they get full suppression of transcript, those seeds abort. They start and then they cannot finish. And so that seems to me like a more interesting system to try to get at what's causing completion of seed development in a non sort of correlative way. You could start adding things and see, can I fix the problem? Whereas with the MIPS lines, I don't know what your final test is, but it doesn't seem to me like it gets to the root of the problem.
So I guess one of the ways that we were hoping to solve that was there's some evidence that the phagopyrrolidones and galactopinotols can make up for the lack of the raffinose and stachyose in terms of desiccation tolerance. So that's kind of work that needs to be worked out, I suppose.
How they were wrapped or how they were held in place or whatever.
So they were incubated, I guess I accidentally. such as health, sorry. They were incubated for the period of time as the intact internode, the node, and the pod. And then only on the day of the unloading, they were cut open. Does that answer? Okay.
Thanks again, Susie.